Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Along with former Malou Cam Jansen, former Mizzou receiver TJ Moe, and the one and only John Hadley, I'm Eric Messersmith, and this is the Hardline 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Derek Gould's going to join us coming up at the top of the hour from the winter meetings there in Orlando.
Right.
DeMarco Farr, the former Ram, coming up in a few minutes. The Bud Light text line is 855-282-8255. Bud Light's the official beer of the Hardline. Also, Chris Kerber next hour at 2:45. Catfish on the text line says, if you ran your fingers through Hadley's hair, you'd have a fistful of bacon grease.
So I stay away from him.
And what's the problem with that?
I don't think there's any problem with that at all. Eric's divorce lawyer weighing in. He says, the boy from Maryland Heights is fired up today. Did he, one, get laid last night? Two, drink his Red Bull and vodka for lunch? Or three, hang out with Charlie Sheen all night?
I will tell you this much right now.
Okay. We'll get the rest later.
When I was doing the Pete Rose show down in Boca Raton, Charlie Sheen came on as a guest.
Oh, God.
And I will put it to you this way. I never saw a guy more screwed up in his life, in my life, ever.
Winning.
Look in the mirror.
He went back in, took a nap for about an hour in the party room, ironically. Mm-hmm. Came back out. And it was one of the best interviews ever.
Yeah, because he got a new fix. he got fixed up before he went out there.
His ability to recoup was very, very impressive.
It's easy, man.
DeMarco Farr going to join us here in 1 second. Stan Royer says, tell Hadley to take the marbles out of his mouth so we can hear the word sirloin, not just mumbling. Sirloin. I thought that was mean. You had dental work done. That's just mean. You had dental work done.
I'm sitting here without two teeth. That my tongue keeps going into that hole right now.
Time to welcome
been there before.
DeMarco Farr from Hadley's Los Angeles Rams broadcast crew. What's up, D-Farr?
Oh, my God. I was dying laughing.
Typical day on this show, D-Farr. That was quite a game out there in L.A. yesterday. What percentage of the fans were Eagle fans, DeMarco? Don't lie.
They were everywhere. There were a lot of Eagle fans. They showed up in force. That was insane. That looked like a bowl game.
Well, it's tough when you have a neighboring city like Philadelphia.
You know? You know what I heard? I heard a lot of Rams fans had sold their tickets. I heard a lot of Philadelphia fans were trying to get away from the cold in Philly. So, yeah, I mean, they took over.
Who doesn't want to catch fire?
Well, it was funny leaving the Coliseum, seeing some of those Eagle fans waiting for Uber. If they really knew the neighborhood they were standing in, they wouldn't be standing there.
Yeah.
it was insane. But it was crazy, man. 78 points scored in a football game, back and forth, punishing. That's a crazy thing that happened to Carson Wentz. It's funny how a team can go from Super Bowl contender to who knows in one game. It's crazy.
Yeah, by the way, he is out for the year, the confirmation coming down today with a torn ACL.
I heard that right after the game. We saw him walk off. The hit he took when he scrambled for a touchdown, he got called back for a holding call. Jeez. He got sandwiched. And I'm standing right there in the end zone, and I could see his face. He was in pain then. And then he came back through the shot, through the touchdown pass. You can tell something had gave way, and that was it for him. So, yeah, no shock. He blew that thing out.
DeMarco of the family Farr. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this much right now. There are times, and yesterday was one of those times, that I can be equally impressed with a team winning and losing. And the St. Louis Rams yesterday, if anybody doubted
the
Rams.
The what Rams?
Yeah, I'm confused.
The St. Louis Rams, who happen to play their home games in Los Angeles.
Nice save.
You know? No, it is what it is. They will always be the St. Louis Rams to me. Regardless, they will always be my Rammies, no matter where they are.
I like it.
So what I will say is that yesterday, anybody who doubted the Rams had to walk away from that game thinking, these guys are legit.
Well, that was, I'll tell you what, the Fox guys were on hand. I mean, Howie was there, his boy was playing, Strahan. I mean, all these guys, the national media, everyone was there on the sideline. And they all said the same thing that we all thought. Philadelphia's good, we knew that. Carson Wentz is special, but the Rams are good and they have heart. Because they fought back in that game. I mean, look, this is the time. I do miss this time of year as an athlete, but I don't. What these guys are going through, this is the type of stuff that takes years off your life. I mean, that was a brutal physical affair in November. These guys were really going at it. Every play mattered. Every shot count. Alec Ogletree gave everything he had and absolutely dehydrated right in front of your eyes. I mean, that was a matchup no one wanted to lose. And I'm telling you, on the way up in the tunnel, once the news got out that Carson Wentz was probably out for the year, you couldn't tell who won or lost. It was just relief the game was over. That's how physical that game was.
And I will say this much right now. I never thought, I mean, you had Dickerson, you had some guys before him that were really good. Heck, a guy that we know very well, Lawrence McCutcheon, was a hell of a back.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have Marshall Faulk. I'll tell you this much right now, DeMarco. I'm not so sure when it's all said and done that Todd Gurley won't be the best running back to ever wear the Rams uniform.
You know, it was strange, Had. I'm sitting there, right, and I'm talking to Marshall. Marshall walks up and hits me in the back of the head. So I turn around, there's Marshall. Eric Dickerson's been there all day. I'm shaking hands, doing what he does. And then I look over, talking to Stan Kroenke is Steven Jackson. And they all three got they got honored. They were on the Jumbotron there. And then to see Todd Gurley rip off long runs, making these guys say wow and ooh. And it was just, you know, special. Could be if he, you know, it's going to be tough to be the greatest running back on any one team in the NFL anymore. It seems like running backs are devalued. But, you know, Todd Gurley surely has a chance in the short run, man. He is phenomenal.
DeMarco Farr joining us here on the Hardline, 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com. So, with the Wentz injury, Minnesota lost yesterday, DeMarco, to Carolina. Are the Rams the best team in the NFC?
Well, I mean, is Seattle done or no? What's happening in Seattle? I mean, they beat the Rams, they beat Philadelphia, and then they lose in Jacksonville, and damn, they beat their fans up. That was crazy. Wow. I never in my life wanted to go into the stands to fight somebody.
Yeah, you saw the mouse in the palace, and it didn't end well. What was he thinking?
I have no idea. I mean, they said he got hit with a beer.
He didn't get hit.
They threw it around him. Yeah.
Okay, well, if he got hit, somebody threw a beer at you, I mean, in that instant, somebody threw something at you. That might make you mad. I mean,
hell,
that's
yeah.
The thing I can say. I never went into the stands, but no one's ever thrown a beer at me.
Well, right, but isn't the idea to then take cover and get in the tunnel, right? Like, the idea is not to, you know what, I should take on these 60,000 fans right now because I'm a badass. You this know, doesn't
well,
make sense.
Well, he is a badass.
Why would you do that? That's embarrassing for Jacksonville. That your fans
would. Yeah.
You're 100% right, but you don't go running into the stands. Like, his whole thing was, I'm not going to let another man disrespect me. Well, by going up into the stands, you're getting everybody else.
Tell Bobby Plager that.
You
would go into the stands, but you can't jump high enough to get into
the
stands.
Well, he couldn't either, thankfully, or else he'd have got his ass beat in front of everybody.
That bald security guard was the MVP of that. Did you see him? He took him on one-on-one and held him back.
You know, I didn't even see it because I was in the end zone for that last touchdown that Philly scored.
It was ugly, man.
I didn't see Chris Long getting into it with a fan, but you know, some of that emotion spills over, and look, there's only so much you can take as an athlete. I mean, we're still men. We're still human. You can't treat me like I'm a dancing bear. Like, I can't get to you. If somebody does show you disrespect, your natural reaction is to go get some. But I'm with you, man. You got to be a professional. Take that into the locker room. But, you know, sometimes those fans will cross a line. And at the wrong moment, you might catch a 300-pounder in your lap.
One of the things that started that game turning ugly was when Jacksonville was taking a knee and Michael Bennett dove into the legs of the center.
That's your man of the year, NFL.
Yeah, what did you make of that? I mean, the etiquette there typically is you don't do anything when a team's taking
unless
a knee.
Unless your coach is Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know what – I'm waiting for Pete Carroll's response to that. Did he try to dive into the guy? Because, look, when I saw it, it seemed like he spun his back around, and I've been in that position when you're trying to create the fumble. It's impossible to stick your hand in there and try to swipe the football. You've seen it before, TJ, right?
When you guys are – I've never been in a victory formation where guys actually had any altercation.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, your whole deal is to try to steal the snap from the center, which is absolutely impossible.
Right.
You'll never be able to get it, but you still try. Who knows? You might be able to create a fumble. So I've seen Greg Schiano. I've seen him call defense where you're designed to go underneath guys and really blow the pile up. I didn't see that out of Michael Bennett. I really didn't. Now, the second part, after the initial scrum when he gave him the business and then dove into his legs, now that's Bush League. You deserve to have your ass whooped and be suspended because of that. Now you're trying to injure. But the first time, I thought he was just trying to get the football.
What's the etiquette on that, DeMarco? I mean, as a guy who played and was involved in those situations, it seems like 99% of the time, everyone just kind of agrees. The game's over. We're taking a knee. You don't fire off the line.
It's an arms race. It's a negotiation, right? I mean, it depends on the mood of the game and how big the game is and how much you need it. So as a D lineman, if I'm down in the stance and you can tell I'm getting ready to fire out, they may say, hey, game's over, game's over. I may not listen. So you better prepare yourself. This still is an NFL live snap. I have the right to go live. Now, if I'm a gentleman or I'm a sportsman or if you've got me by more than two scores with 1 second on the clock, okay, game's over. But if I got a shot to get the ball back so my offense can try to score or maybe I can create something, then I have to do it. But, you know, careful what you wish for because that stuff gets on film. Like Rob Gronkowski, next time you step on the field, you're going to have to answer for what you did. If you blow up a victory formation, well, every offensive coach and player just saw that. You're going to have to answer for that next time you take the field.
You know, it's interesting, DeMarco, because when you go, like, the theory behind it, fine, makes sense. But what you're saying, why aren't the offensive players firing out then? I mean, that this is what I would do. If I see some of this stuff and I'm playing Seattle, yes, I'm taking a knee, but we're firing out and hitting you as hard as we can for the next four plays. Because that's the drawback to this thing. Fine, if you want to make it a play, we were just going to stop it here. And that's it, game's over, we got to waste about a minute and a half. But if this is what it's going to be, then fine. The issue is, I think, what you're talking about with the second play. Well, you don't get to dive at my knees just because you're pissed.
No, that's dirty. That's dirty pool. You know, the center did what he was supposed to do when Michael Bennett shot for the football. He's supposed to rough you up a little bit. Okay, you want to play? Let's play. And you're in a bad position. You're between his legs. He's going to drive your head into the dirt, which is what he's supposed to do. He's trying to tell you to back off. Now, Michael Bennett should have just let that go. I shot him. He roughed me. That's it. When you shoot back at a guy's knees and try to take him out, well, he has every right to get up and try to stomp on your head. You just tried to take food off his table. So the next play, if that didn't happen, if he didn't dive at the guy's legs and they just lined up again, I guarantee you Michael Bennett would have just stood there. I tried. You fired me. That's it. But it just went haywire. It went sideways. It's emotional out there. I get it.
Hey, D-Far, I saw that Tom Savage get rocked, man.
Oh, my God.
And he was choking on his tongue. And it was horrible to even watch. And, I mean, I've been in that situation before. But he came back and played, didn't he? I mean, what are the concussion protocol on that? I mean, I look at it like if that happened to Petrangelo behind a net or something, I mean, Ray Brilliant would go out there and he wouldn't play for 10, 12
what's
days.
What's the point of this eye in the sky?
What's the point of it? What's the point of it?
Because that was evident. Like, you know when you get concussed, your arms go up just like that? I've done it myself.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Well, you know the second his arms are locked like that, then he's got a concussion. How do you miss that?
Let me say this. Okay, I was in the booth a couple of years ago when the Rams played Minnesota up in Minnesota. This is when the Rams head trainer was almost in trouble because Case Keenum went back out there. He got slammed on the back of his head and was damn near out. Now, I'm standing right there watching the same game and I missed it. It's not perfect. It's imperfect. When I'm on the sideline now, I can see where the concussion guy is. Depending on the stadium, sometimes your view may be blocked. Some angles are just hard to see. Some of these things are going to get pushed through or you're going to miss. But there is a breakdown sometimes in communication because there is video. If you have any sort of inkling that a guy has been hit or has any sort of head trauma, I've seen the Rams do it. I've seen the other teams do it. There's video right there, and they go back and review. It's the game within the game. Those trainers, those doctors cannot worry about score. They can't worry about your record. They only worry about that guy. So I've seen them do it. You may need that guy right back on the field. The coaches may ask for that guy. They have to say, no, we're checking him out. He's in the tent. He can't go back out there. That's just the way it is. But I can tell you, some of that stuff does get missed. These piles, the angles, you just can't see everything all the time. So some of that stuff is going to get missed a little bit.
I saw it, D-Far, and I wasn't even paying attention.
Well, and it also it makes more sense if that's a non-quarterback, right? He's a guy who's got everybody's watching the quarterback.
Everybody's watching.
And even if you missed it, there's guys like
he had a seizure.
Well, it was on the game broadcast, right?
Yes.
I mean, wasn't it on the replay?
Yes.
So somebody's got to be monitoring the game broadcast, you would think, in the booth and say, this doesn't
he's
look
not right.
Right.
That's a huge miss. If you saw it, then they should have seen it. But like I'm saying, sometimes that stuff does get missed.
You ever seen anything like Josh Gordon? I mean, the guy came back without playing for – he had scored a touchdown in 3 years, and his touchdown catch was one of the prettiest I've seen this year. He's gliding through the air. I don't think I've ever seen anybody take 3 or 4 years off of playing football and then come in and dominate with ease.
Oh, there's three guys I would like to line up in recent memory and just walk down the line and just bop them straight in the nose. One is that guy. Because he is that good. Like you said, that long of a layoff, and you look like you haven't missed a day. So imagine what you have just missed for the last 2 years because you can't put the weed down. The other guy I just saw yesterday, LeGarrette Blount. The one punch at Oregon ruined your NFL career, a productive NFL career. You're still playing. You have a ring. Imagine how much money you cost yourself because you couldn't control yourself way back when once. And the other guy, I think, was your teammate. What is his name again?
Sheldon Richardson?
Nope, the receiver.
Oh, Dorial Green-Beckham.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you insane?
Yeah, he's not on a team now. You know, he's out.
No kidding. I heard a veteran tell me when I was a rookie in 1994, Tank Younger. He was sitting there in the trailer when I was about to sign my contract. He told me two things. He said, football is a job to where you retire. You have to get up and get a job. And he said, remember this, kid. This is all unsolicited. He said, remember this, kid. Parks are full of great athletes. And I'll be damned if it's not true. And he's one of them. I mean, one of the best receivers, athletes, bodies, NFL bodies I've ever seen in my life. And this guy's sitting at home. Why? Because of stuff you can control. Unbelievable.
That's the same thing they used to say to Marco when I would go to the park, play basketball. They'd be like, man, there's some great athletes out here.
Yeah, well, you're juicing them.
It's that old saying, there's more talent in the graveyard than there is on the actual field.
Wow.
DeMarco, thanks for the time.
I don't think they said that about you.
No, they
didn't. Eric's
our
best athlete.
Tell Kroenke I said hi, DeMarco.
Go ahead and go to Cam Jansen's Facebook profile. Scroll down to this past July.
Humble brag.
Look for a video of Eric getting dusted by somebody who weighs about 75 more pounds than him.
And then delete it.
And then laugh some more about his statement.
Like dusted as in running?
Yeah, running. It's not good for the show. Don't even look at it.
Oh, really?
No, I was giving Eric 75 pounds, and then, you know, he gave me, like, 25 yards.
Yeah.
I got to watch this video.
Right. DeMarco, we'll talk to you later in the week,
buddy.
See you,
big boy.
Man. See you guys.
All right.
DeMarco Farr, the former Ram. By the way, on that Tom Savage hit,
come on.
Texans coach Bill O'Brien reiterated today that he did not see the aftermath of that hit. He said, quote, I would have never let him back in the game had I seen
that. Okay. I do not
the crazy
believe
thing to
that.
Me
no,
is
I
that,
do
that. Where,
really?
You know what a head coach does during a game? He watches like 5 seconds of the play, maybe.
But
like, he's not even watching the whole play. He's, what do you do?
Everybody
now?
Else is
You're
looking right
well,
at him.
He's talking for himself.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't see it. Well, that's everybody else's fault for not telling you, but
tell
I actually
me.
Believe the head coach
I'd be
didn't
pissed.
See it.
Yeah,
well,
tell
do
me.
You guys remember like 3 years ago when Case Keenum got hit when the Rams were still in St. Louis and one of the offensive linemen went to go help him up and he like picked him up and he looked like a rag doll and he just like his body was lifeless and he fell back down to the ground. Mm-hmm. I remember after that game we were all like, man, how is this concussion protocol letting because he got back into the game a few plays later. How are these players getting back in the game? That was 3 years ago, and we're still running into these situations. How is the NFL, and their only response to this was, well, we got to work on the concussion protocol, make
you
it better.
Think.
You've been trying to work on it for 3 years, and these things still happen.
You missed that
how?
One.
How?
I caught
how?
It.
Yeah, but listen, you don't. Fine, you can blame teammates or whoever, but I don't think it's not the job of the coaches to be watching.
No, I'm not blaming the coach. I'm saying overall,
so
how does the protocol still fail?
Whoever is blaming any coaches or even the teammates, honestly, because you're half paying attention, right? Plays over and everybody's looking at the sideline, or you're trying to figure out what's happening next.
Yeah,
you're
that's pointless.
About. This is your eyes in the sky here.
Yeah,
the NFL, how you guys missed
that? Oh, him and training staff, dude.
Every
the medical
year,
training staff.
Every year we have a big example where a guy looks lifeless and somehow he gets back in the game. Usually it's a quarterback because teams can't deal with a backup and.
The medical staff.
Every
pay
year this
to
happens. It's not getting better.
And this was something that was captured on video. Like, I saw it, right? I mean, I wasn't watching the game live, but I'm assuming it was on the live broadcast, too, on the replay. Like, so, nobody's
who are you
watching,
then?
Monitor.
Who are you watching then as a medical staff at that point? Who are you watching?
And it just looked, I mean, it looked terrible. God, I love
it looked horrible.
I love football. Like, that Steelers-Ravens game last night was fantastic. But man, is it a violent game. It is a nasty, vicious.
It is.
I love
it, but
I'll
do love it.
That thing with his arms that happened to me one time. We were playing Nebraska, and the ball wasn't to me. I thought it was. Nebraska had
T-Rex arms.
Yeah, and I dove way out there to get it, and I snagged it. But I had, you know, how catches are now. You have to. You don't get to break your false
guard. Did
you
control it through the process?
I rolled about three times and I lost it, but they gave it to me. But the point is, my head hit first, right? It went like, bam, head on the ground, and my arms were stuck like that, right? And it was like 3 seconds, and I was totally blacked out. And then I tried to stand up, but I had my eyes open and everything was black. So I kind of kneeled back down, and I waited, I don't know, 10 seconds or so. And the, like, little specks of light started to come back.
Started to put everything together.
Yeah, and then it came back, and then, okay,
I went
back.
Get the hell off the field, though. You want to get off as soon as possible.
I did. Yeah. And listen, I passed the concussion protocol, whatever the difference stuff. I passed it all, I went back in the game. Oh. But I had the thing where exactly what he's talking about. When your arms are up like
Gator
this,
arms.
And you, yeah, oh, yeah.
They're T-Rex arms. I did the same. I think it's because you're trying to get up. When I got knocked out, it looked like I'm just trying to get up, and I got the T-Rex arms. Oh, my
we
God.
Got, we got to go to break, but. Knowing what you know now, I know obviously you'd play football again, but in that moment, in that game, sat out the rest of the game.
No.
Knowing what you know now.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Because there's one other time where I was knocked out in the game, and I kept rolling.
I've gotten buckled. I'm staying in it, man.
Cam, tell me about Bud Light. It is the official beer of the Heartland.
I will. I absolutely will. Hey.
All right, one of these days.
I'll tell you. Keep asking. Hey, Blues fans, whether you're heading to Scottrade or yelling at the TV with your friends, Bud Light has you covered. Because win or lose, game day is more than about the game. It's about having a great time with people who matter most. So before the next face-off, be sure to pick up the beer you can count on with the friends you can count on. Bud Light, famous among friends and the official beer sponsor of your St. Louis Blues. Please drink responsibly.
590, the fan of Bud Light, speaking of Bud Light, are proud to announce our 2017 Bragging Rights Papa Shot Tournament. That's Thursday, December 21st. Rock, I am going to smoke you in this. It's from 7 a.m. to 3
p.m. Smoking boulders.
At the Wheelhouse downtown. During each show that day, there will be four Papa Shot tournaments that listeners can compete in to win a pair of Bragging Rights tickets. So if you show up from 7 to 10 a.m., TMA will have a bracket, the press box, the midday grind, and the hard line. And you can compete in each bracket to win. Each participant will play three rounds. The highest average of scores during each round will win the Bragging Rights tickets. Four pairs given away throughout the day. Make sure you head on down and party with us all day. Wheelhouse downtown next Thursday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Papa Shot game set to free play, so you get to play as much as you want. Cardinals ticket packages will be raffled off as well, along with Anheuser-Busch coolers, mini fridges. Also, that December 21st at Wheelhouse downtown.
Before we went to break on that fateful July day, you were confident then, too.
That's true. Pride comes before the fall, Rock. That's what usually happens. Derek Gould is going to join us live from the winter meetings in Orlando coming up next. It's the Hard Line, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.